But wait, you said German raises for thinking is sending the
to catch up on, but one I saw was him talking to Unique, and Unique, it was actually funny because Unique was like so disinterested in it, and like Jimmernan was trying so hard to provoke Unique, and Unique was like, "What's up? Yeah, huh? What are you talking about? Like, how much?" And he's like, "How much have you ever?" He uses that, doesn't use the King of Six Pune.
Yeah.
2018, by the way. 2018. Yeah.
He was just killing him. He's been killing it, huh?
Right. So he's always had this fucking delusion.
Yeah, Unique, you know, and he's the guy who had some, he's at the center of a controversy with Brendan Schaub, which is a whole different, you know, side path. But he, like, Brendan Schaub claims that he's suing this guy for defamation. It's actually just for copyright. Like, this is like one of the big things that kind of destroyed Brendan Schaub's career. But I think Unique's kind of funny, actually, like how in this clip specifically, how unbothered he is by it. Cause he's like, I think you could say a lot of things about Unique, right?
Originally Saiyan Z, by the way.
Yeah.
He started as that.
I don't think he lies about how much money he makes. Like, I don't think he's out there.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't.
Like,
he's
yeah.
His whole like stream from when I was watching him, I haven't seen him in a while though, but it would be the same thing every night. It would be, he'd start out very coherent. Then about 10 minutes, 15 minutes in, he starts to slur his speech until he's literally just drooling and going
Yeah, I
into
don't
the
know. I
microphone.
think he takes.
And I'm like, is he a great actor or is that seriously always happening on cue every time?
I tuned in one time and screen recorded him like drooling at the mic.
Oh, I've got it.
Yeah,
I've got it too
like it's not
somewhere.
just, like, this happened once. It was like I happened to click this light. I'm
He's
like,
one of my
how am I
outros.
watching this guy? Like we were joking about it. I'm like, if somebody died on a live stream, how long would it take for, like, I passed out from drugs on a live
It
stream.
would go viral.
You showed me, yeah, exactly. It's like you wouldn't like and then
In
that happened.
fairness, I
Like,
have to be fair though, because I made this comparison. I like Unique more, way more than Jimmernam, but the way they do things is they're the same person as far as content. Like, they do the same thing.
Yeah, but I will say this,
Clip
Unique does some
chimping with
comments.
minimal commentary.
Correct. He leeches off the subreddit, but he at least goes, he goes, I think he hits record and it just kind of gives a summary. He's like, all right, so this is what happened. Jimmernam literally, and I didn't realize at first because I was listening to some of these videos. I'm like, oh, that shit's pretty funny. And then I was like, wait a second. Oh, he's literally just reading the comments. And I think it's so.
Me like a faker, got me all loose. Puzzle, petty, noble, diablo. Run in the head, got me greatly, got me greatly, cause I ghost y'all. Kill a rapper, be yourself, fuck the close call. Boy, where to do that at? Where to do that at? You say you spit your food for thought, where to chew that at? Yo, your pussy look like Shaq, where to screw that at? I got the bounce for the house, just a newfound Zach. What you say, yeah? We go off in the flash, super saiyan. Keep the game fly, boy, we ain't playing. About to fuck the world up, Ronald Reagan. Mama raised the rap king like Angela Bassett. She raised the pop king like Angela Bassett. She never played a rock queen like Angela Bassett. But was rolling on that river like Angela Bassett. Folks asking me, when you gonna put on for your city? I'm a weird guy. People lie like they ain't riding with me. They like on my brother.
Mark Harley is out here leaking text messages. So he texted Brian Callen about Brendan Schaub firing George, the superfan. So let's see what Brian Callen had to say. Actually, I didn't hire him, nor did I know he was fired until Lex let him go, and apparently we are still paying him. I'm also talking to him to try to find him some work. I called him the second I heard. Remember, he's not my employee, but I care about the kid, obviously, so trying to help in any way I can. If you have any ideas, give them to me. And then Mark Harley responds, Brian, no, just wanted to CC you in case I was blocked by Brendan. Was calling Brendan a pussy. Not you, seriously. Actually, assume you'd never pull something like that. Terrible look for him. Similar to, say, telling several of his side pieces he fired me for being a domestic abusing addict who didn't come to work, etc., when in fact you fired me for not texting him back for 3.6 hours between 6 and 9 while I worked as he consumed 120 milligrams of kratom, 200 milligrams of nicotine, and 74 shots of espresso per day. Damn! Or hiring a private investigator for what? 10K, I assume, to harass Luana and look into me for breaking into his house to show Joanna text messages between him and some chick, simply to gaslight his wife when one of his girls sent her flowers. I love you, Brian. Always have, always will, on God. You're crazy, lazy, drug addict, lying, totally unstable, but also kind of right about everything I've said, friend. Hello, Mark Harley. So Mark Harley's still out here dropping us content. Now, the way this worked out is after the allegations, Schaub assumed full control of the fighter and the kid, but he still pays Callan. So it was just a complete Schaub decision. Now, this makes no sense. They fired him, but they're still paying him. And whatever. It's just hilarious to me that they're getting rid of the cheapest person there because they can't afford to pay him. Well, if I was Chin and everyone else there, I'd be kind of scared. The dude who just made the least amount of money got fired because they can't afford to pay him. Obviously, you're probably going to be next because it's going down for Bappa. After facing tons of backlash for firing a super fan, George, Brendan Schaub has addressed it and seems to have rehired him, but with some conditions. So this guy hit up Schaub and said, fix it with George. That wasn't right. Schaub puts, not sure what dumbass you're getting your info from. KG still works for me. So, once again, he's lying. He's a pathological liar. We all know he fired him. Confirmed by that dude's mom and by Brian Callan. But now, he's trying to say, oh, I never fired him to begin with. But if that was the case, then that dude George put, for anyone concerned, I will be working remotely for Brendan Schaub for the foreseeable future. I appreciate everyone's concern, and while I have a lot of big decisions, I love my Los Angeles family, and I look forward to my future. So, he's going to be working remotely. So, Brendan Schaub fired him, and now he's going to rehire him, but have him work remotely, which means he's barely going to pay him anything. And this dude, he's not going to pay him enough to live in Los Angeles. He's like, all right, go home, work remotely for your house for $50 a week probably. And this dude said, I have a lot of big decisions to make because obviously you can't do this job for essentially nothing because Schaub is going to pay him nothing. He's only quote-unquote rehiring him just to save face. So completely pathetic on Brendan Schaub's part. And like I said, if he was willing to get rid of the lowest paid person there, everyone else there better watch out. Kind of rehired him, but not really. And he's going to have him work from home or something. He did it after facing backlash, and the story got out because of Mark Harley. But Brendan Schaub went on to a Fighter and a Kid, and I guess explained why you fired him. I haven't listened to this, but I'm going to assume he's going to lie and say he wasn't really fired. But I'm going to play this and give you my thoughts on it. Let's see what Brendan Schaub had to say.
I'm depressed.
Usually, like, are you okay?
I'm not depressed, but obviously I'm a little sad.
Why are you a little sad?
You guys want to discuss it now?
Oh, yeah, let's talk about it. Oh, yeah, George.
Yeah.
Let's talk about George for a sec, guys. So there's been a lot of misinformation. George did not get fired.
No.
George was asked, you need somebody with more experience in right now as Thick Boy's expanding into different areas.
Yeah, we need like full producer.
Not
like
a 22-year-old. No. Right. And so everybody loves George. So what I think you did was offered him a different Lex, who runs the company,
Lex runs CFO,
offered him something else. You are not a good person for that job to go and even talk to George, because you're very attached to George emotionally. I'm going to speak for Brennan for a second, guys. You're very attached to him.
Love George.
You're terrible at any kind of repositioning, firing, or anything. You're the worst. You're the fucking worst. And so we know this about you. So we have other people that actually run the mechanics and day-to-day operation of Thick Boy. Yes. Okay. I'm just speaking and you tell me when I'm wrong. So George is somebody all of us here care about. And right now, I think you guys offered George something else within
from
the company.
Else where he doesn't have to, because now he's killed himself coming in every day.
Yeah, so he doesn't want to do that.
A different role. His thing was, it's not that he doesn't want to be here, but he has other opportunities, which I also helped him facilitate.
Right? Yeah.
But he has two good ones, which I helped him facilitate. So I understand. Like if those don't work out, he can come back here. You know that it's always open. I love George. I talk to George probably more than anybody in here besides you.
Yeah, and I talk to him too. And
talk to him every day.
If I can help him game plan, I say.
No, dude, this is what people get. You know how far Georgie has. This is my conversation with today. Me and him talked in person. You know how far Georgie has come. You got to think about it. I met George when he was 450 pounds on King and the Sting. He sent in a submission. Because my goal is to get down to 190, blah, blah, blah. I'm a thick boy. I said, Georgie, you get down to 190, I'll fly you here live in studio. Year later, calls in, he's 190. I fly him in. He's such a good – if you ever meet George, can't help but love the kid. Fly him in here. I love him. I go, dude, come to San Antonio with me. You ever stay in a nice hotel? Never. Cool. It's the first time on a plane, too. Fly him to San Antonio, put him up at our favorite hotel, Hotel Emma, give him the presidential suite. He's living like a king. Bring him on stage. And then I was like, can't stop here, dude. I'll find a job for you.
That's you. That's you.
That's me.
That's you. If you know, yeah, that's you. So
he went from zero skills to he can edit now.
Yep.
He can cut clips. He can do social media. He's
But here's the problem with you. Here's the problem with you. You get emotionally attached to everybody.
Correct. I shouldn't be running
and,
a business.
And I
also don't hire
and him. I think that is a liability for you.
Yes.
Because sometimes you got, yeah.
I'm a bad reader.
Well, it's not that you're a bad reader, dude. You're just very optimistic.
We're not talking about books.
Some jobs, if you're running a company, you are going to need a 30-year-old person who has a lot of experience to run shit. And you have to be
background checks.
But you also have to be the kind of guy that is like people that run a business are
the sharks.
Way more ruthless than you.
And I'm not.
They go, you, it's not working. You got to get out of here.
Yeah, I'm not.
That's the way
I'm not like that.
Not like that. Not like that. Well, let me just tell you about Brennan. So just so people know, the number of people that we've had who we all love and they were all great. But there were things sometimes where this person, I'm not talking about George in this case. I'm talking about in the 12 years we've been here, there were, I think we've had probably, I think 8 or 9 real discussions about you calling me and saying, I don't know what to do with this person. They're not doing their job. And it's driving me crazy because I'm paying them a fortune, fucking fortune, and I would be like, okay, and then what would we always say? What would we always say? You finish my sentence.
You'd go, yeah, but you're not going to do anything.
No, I'd say, and you know what we're going to do about this?
Absolutely nothing.
And you'd say, absolutely nothing, because I can't confront
it. We'd leave them on board for another year at least.
Right.
Until it gets so toxic or
they
leave or something.
Whatever the case, you know, and that's not the way to run a business.
No,
right?
Sir.
And so we have a 22-year-old who we all care about, who we want to win, and he will win, and I'll do what I can, you know, to help him gain.
But Georgie has a great resume now, his skills.
And he's also a great kid.
And also, when he came in today to tell me.
And did a great job here, by the way.
Of course.
Let's put that on record.
But he came in today, me and him talked in person, just to tell me, like, if it's going to be a part-time thing, like, I'd rather just go somewhere full-time. I get that, dude. I get that. You know?
Yeah.
Love Georgie.
Well, that's a win. That's the goal. To go from here to
and it's hard, you know, he's 22, he's never, this is his first job, really.
Yeah.
He's coming straight out 22 from his background, so it's like, he's just getting more experience, that's all it is.
Well, I mean, I told him, when I talked to him, I said, this is good. It's that Jocko Willick thing.
Good.
Good. Good. Now,
easier said than done, but.
Okay, so, pretty much everything said there was a complete and total lie. How do we know? We have the text from his mom, in which his mom said to Mark Harley, the lawyer fired him, and he doesn't even have a way to get home. But even in their explanation, didn't even make sense with their lies they were trying to spin. So they never fired him. They were just going to reposition him. But he has two opportunities other places. So they didn't fire him because he's got opportunities somewhere else. That didn't even make sense. They can't even get that right. But, I mean, taking everything that they two just said, they still fired him because they cut him down to part-time, which means Zoom in from home and we'll pay you $20 a week. And he says, well, that's not really a job. So, okay, well, you're fired anyway. That's ultimately, so that dude, George, is done ultimately because part-time, what does that mean? That means after the backlash, you offered him to work from home and you'd pay him essentially nothing after you already fired him. So that's what really happened there. If I was Schaub, just be honest. That's the problem. Just say, hey, my career's over. My business is a complete and utter failure. I can't afford to pay this guy. I mean, that is the truth. That's the reality of the situation. When businesses fail, people have to get fired. Just say, I find it odd you had to fire the person making the least amount of money. But if Schaub just came out and was honest and said, obviously you can tell the views are insanely down. My career is over. I can't sell tickets. I can hardly afford to do this. I'm paying money to do this. I can't afford to pay that dude. Then I'd be like, oh, I get it. Whatever. That's how businesses work. But the fact that it always has to be lies. Everything out of this guy's mouth. And then Callan having to defend him. It's just pathetic. We all know what happened here. They're acting as if we didn't see the text messages between Mark Harley and George's mom. Hell, we only know about this because of Mark Harley. If Mark Harley never dropped those text messages, we would have never known about this. So Mark Harley was telling the truth because Brendan Schaub really did fire him. So, I mean, completely pathetic on Schaub's part.
Ex-boyfriend of the new girl who they have on the show. And apparently Brendan Schaub was causing problems in their relationship before they broke up because he was constantly texting her at all hours. What the fuck could she possibly be doing for him as the intern on a show for two episodes a week where she's basically required to appear? They have a separate editor. They have a guy who does Photoshop. Like, all the jobs are covered. You don't need to be talking to Brendan Schaub and having, like, giggly secret phone calls. You're like, ha, ha, ha. Like, what are you laughing about? Nothing. Just talking to Brendan. It's work, babe. That's how he made it seem to me. And I believe this guy because he's a highly credible source. So Brendan Schaub is always trying to either fuck this girl or trying to fuck her, start paying her, then go, oh, George, sorry. And all the training and mentoring and leadership, I prepared you to, we don't need you anymore. Sorry. You let him fly home, have the holidays, and then the day after Christmas say, hey, I don't want to have this conversation with you. I'm going to let my lawyer, Lex, call you up and tell you that you're fired.
Damn. So, Brendan Schaub fired that dude, George, so he could hire that chick, and he's trying to hook up with that chick. Seems like a total boppish thing to do, because, like, that dude, George, was trained. That chick wasn't. Why bring on new people when you already got people trained to do all the jobs? Just had to get rid of George. And I guarantee you he's probably paying him like nothing anyway. But, I mean, fired him day after Christmas, my birthday, just to hire some chick and try and hook up with her. Because, you know, that's totally what Brendan Schaub is trying to do. That's what Brendan Schaub always tries to do. So, pretty hilarious that that's the real reason why George got seen as walking papers. I mean, makes sense, though. When it comes to Brendan Schaub and Mark Harley. Mark Harley, he just loves, he said he's going to be dropping a video too that has a whole bunch of proof in it that might end Brendan Schaub's career. So I can't wait to see that video.
Tonight, I got to bring this gentleman on stage. His name's George. He's all the way from Chicago. Let me tell you about George real quick. George, a year
George here, a year and a half ago on King of the Sting, sent a submission in, and he was... Yeah, man. George was 450 pounds, and he said, dude, if I lose 200 pounds, I'll fly to L.A. and I will wrestle Stevie. I went, dude, you lose 200 fucking pounds, I will fly to L.A., I will fly to my show, I'll be backstage. This is George. George, badass.
Be a good man. George. Hi. I lost a bunch of weight and got hired, so now I'm here.
Your journey is going to be a huge example for people.
In a positive way, too.
100%.
Because fat people are fucking miserable.
I know, but you're important.
You know?
You're very important. And I'm glad Brendan found you, and I'm glad this is where Brendan said his best, because, you know, I don't think you realize what your ripple effect is going to be. And you're that young. And I think all of this happened for a reason.
Wow. And George is one of the best people I've ever fucking met. He's one of the most disciplined people I've ever met. And now George, the plan was to be here for 30 days. And you know it's George. And now it's June 1st is tomorrow. And what I'm going to do is, you've been crushing it so hard, kicking ass. And we had that talk. The first week you were here, you wanted to go home. And I gave you the Al Pacino fucking Any Given Sunday speech on... Now, my thing to you is, I'm doing it without crying. My thing to you is, I want to offer you a full-time job here. So you don't go home, brother. You need to stay here because you have work to do. And that's how you represent your family and give back.
And that's a regular day.
So that guy, George, yeah, Brendan fired him. We learned this from Mark Harley, who put on his Instagram, had to email Brendan Schaub and Brian Callen to congratulate them on conducting business properly with their most loyal employees. Nice work. Couldn't even call him yourself. You DM'd George's mom. Well, guess what? Brendan's lawyer just called George and they let him go. Said they can't afford to pay him. WTF, wow. Now George has to figure out how to get back home on what little savings he has. Well, life is really strange, and so are people. So Brendan Schaub hired that dude for sympathy points, and now he fired him. He gadooshed him because he can't afford to pay him. First of all, something tells me he wasn't paying that guy that much money anyway. But didn't Schaub just get $1.6 million from Podcast One and Cast Media thing? Things are that bad for him. That's how much money he's losing, that even when he got $1.6 million, he's already going broke again. It's truly pathetic, truly sad. I mean, he was that fat, Down syndrome-looking dude's inspiration, and he just got gadooshed by Bappa, his hero. And now he has no way to go home? I mean, they're going to fire him and not even send him home. Well, I guess that makes sense. I mean, if they're firing because they can't afford to pay him, they probably can't afford to fly him back to wherever the hell he's from. But damn, now the dude has to use his own savings. Well, at least he gets to put on his resume he worked for a dummy that in a failing podcast. Just truly sad and pathetic. I wonder if this dude's going to come forward with anything to say. I don't know if Schaub makes his people sign NDAs. Obviously, he didn't make... Mark Harley signed an NDA, so I don't know about everyone else, though, and he might have made it a policy since Mark Harley because of what Mark Harley did, and Mark Harley exposing this. Truly sad for that dude, but Kreischer decided to describe a friend he has whose career is basically over, so I'm going to play this to give you my thoughts on it. Let's see what Bert Kreischer had to say.
Who had hot, sexy careers. I was just texting in my friend group with a guy who had the hottest career. And then he was just like, I'm the coolest guy here. And then it kind of went away for him, and he's struggling to get it back. And then you're just going like, maybe if you hadn't been so precious and you had said, I'd love to do that college or that casino or that, maybe I'd take everything as an opportunity. It's a gift. First of all, a lot of comics, I can only talk about comedy, but a lot of comics forget we did it for free. Yeah, we did it for free. If someone wants to give you $100,000 to do stand-up, I don't know that there's, I mean, look, there's comics disagreeing with me listening to this, but, like, it's a pretty great deal. Who had hot, sexy careers? I was just texting.
So, do you think he's talking about Brendan Schaub? I do think he's talking about Schaub, because who else in his friend crew had a career and now, like, their career's over, aside from, like, D'Elia and Callan, but their careers are over because of allegations, whereas Schaub is the only one in his friend group, really, who, I mean, as terrible as his stand-up was, he did have a Showtime special, he did have a deal with Showtime, and his podcast was doing well until everything fell apart because he destroyed everything because he's an idiot. I do think he's talking about Schaub specifically, because who else in that friend group would he be talking about? Not Segura, not Rogan, not Norman, not Gillis, not Ari. There's only one person he could be talking about. So, I mean, but he is right. Basically, I think he's just saying Schaub was lazy. He's too busy chasing the addies and the baddies. And then he wasn't funny, and his career is over now. Damn, Bert Kreischer really just put one of his friends out on Front Street. But...
And that's how it was for Blue Comedy. If you were a comedian that cussed, you were ridiculed by the mainstream comedy geist. That would be like me being on Joe Rogan. Joe don't want me on there. I need to be on Shannon. Joe got six comedians that never been funny. He want to push out. But that's really how it is.
So Cat Williams took a shot at Joe Rogan. A well-deserved shot, by the way. Of course, Rogan responded just by saying, oh, I would love to have Cat on my show. It's also kind of odd because the last time Rogan talked about Cat Williams on his podcast, it was very positive. And when he had on Starvos. But I think a very deserved criticism and a nice shot at Brendan Schaub, because he said six comedians, and Schaub's one of them, but, you know, the Callans and the D'Elias. But Joe Rogan has been pushing unfunny comedians. Now, since they all got accused, he's kind of switched up his little friend group there. Now it's mainly Gillis and Mark Norman, who, and those guys are funny. But, you know, Cat Williams was definitely talking about Schaub, because Schaub has, what, been on the Joe Rogan podcast the most. And he's the most unfunniest person ever. And Cat Williams is obviously aware of this fact. I just found it hilarious that Joe got kind of thrown under the bus with it. But I do agree with Cat Williams to some degree on that criticism.
All right, girls, it's go time. We are going to do a raffle. I'm going to do a raffle, not we, me. And it's a really cute all black Prada bag. It's a $4,800 purse, brand new with receipts, everything. And it's going to be cool. It's going to be basically for like a Galentine's Day. So I'm going to I'm going to start the raffle today, and then I'm going to give it like 2 weeks, to see, you know, how well it does, who wants to be in the raffle. And then I'll announce the winner. Once we have all 50 tickets sold, and I'm going to have one of the boys pick a name or like an IG name, once all the raffle tickets are sold. And then I will ship it out, put a little special note, and it should be amazing, and all for $75. So peep the next story for the information.
Just when I think these people can't get any lower, they're now doing illegal raffle scams to try and get money. I mean, Schaub's wife might honestly be worse and maybe even dumber. I mean, she did end up with Schaub. She has to be pretty dumb. But, and did she say Galentine's Day? What? But, so she's always on Instagram trying to sell off her used crap, and I'm pretty sure nobody ever buys it. And knowing this, she came up with a new scam way to try and get some money out of Brendan Schaub's audience, because that's the only people who are follower are people who are Brendan Schaub fans. She puts together this raffle and has all her friends on Instagram promote it too. So she's really trying to get some money out of this, where there's 50 tickets at $75 a pop. That comes about to $3,700. And you get probably fake used Prada bag that she's claiming is worth $4,500. It's not. This is a scam. It's illegal. First of all, I think it's against the terms of services of Instagram to do this. Pretty sure in California, you can't just set up raffles. But, I mean, come on. Over a used Prada bag, she's trying to get $3,700 off of it out of some of this dumb rube's audience. Ew! Didn't this guy just get $1.6 million from Cast Media? Or some portion of that and the rest in stock that's worth less than a dollar, I think, right now. I mean, are they this hard up for money? I mean, I know the guy can't sell tickets, but my God. But even this, she even made a thing, early Valentine's raffle. $75 per ticket, only 50 tickets available. $4,500 Prada purse is being raffled. Venmo or what is that? Zello accepted? Ugh. And when they have this raffle, like, I guarantee. Because it's so, the greatest thing about this scam is you just say, oh, this person won. And it's probably like nobody or a friend of hers or something. That's the way the scam goes. This is truly pathetic. Howard Stern announced that he finally got COVID-19. That was on his show today. Howard Stern announced to his SiriusXM radio listeners while he was off the air last week, he finally got COVID-19. The radio legend is a notorious and vocal germaphobe. And since the coronavirus came to the U.S. in the winter of 2020, he has successfully avoided the illness. Not so anymore, according to his Monday show. So, Stern finally got COVID. He's been locked away in his house since 2020, even brought in a studio to his house in Florida, by the way, and has just been doing the show from there. Bill Maher even dropped the video saying he wishes Howard Stern would come out of the house, but he's so afraid of COVID-19 that he won't, which I always found to be odd because Stern, big proponent of the vaccine, claims he got the vaccine, so I never got what he was so afraid of. I mean, if you're vaccinated, what's the problem? Unless, you know, the theory going out there was that Stern has always kind of been like a weirdo when it comes to like medicine and stuff. Remember, he used to be in that Dr. Sarno guy, and like he was against medicine and it's all in your head stuff. So a theory was that, you know, he never really actually got the vaccine. He just hid away hoping everyone else would get it and like the virus would be gone by the time he came out of his house. I don't know, but so he finally got it. So I'm wondering now that he's gotten it and he's gotten over it, because now he's back doing his show, will he come back to be in studio? Will he finally go out of the house? And he claims he gave it to Beth, although Beth was just on a TV set with people and stuff. So people are saying, like the radio gunk people are saying, that she gave it to him, actually. But, I mean, he finally got it. It wasn't the worst thing ever for him. Will this change his mindset on certain things and come back to be in studio? Does SiriusXM even want him to come back to be in studio? Is it cheaper for them for him to just do the job from his house? I don't know. I mean, no one really listens to Stern anymore. And the show is nothing to what it used to be. It's terrible now. But I wonder now if he'll start going out more. Maybe come back to New York. Because that was another odd thing and went into that theory of he never actually got vaccinated. Because why would you go to Florida? Well, there was no mandates in Florida because it's a Republican state. But that could just be tax purposes he went there. But Anthony Comey is back and he talked about Howard Stern getting COVID. So I'm going to play this to give you my thoughts on it.
Stern has sacrificed so much over the past 4 years or so, the COVID years, by not doing anything. He's been so petrified of catching COVID. He's been inoculated. He's been boosted. He wears a mask everywhere. He's stayed in his house. He's just lived in the basement of his mansion for years because he did not want to catch the dreaded COVID. Well, Howard has announced he got COVID. Howard Stern reveals why he was off the air last week. I just want to announce something. Yeah, he made it like a big announcement. Everyone's had COVID, you dummy. Everyone. And hiding in your basement and all that shit, all life that you've missed for 4 years amounted to nothing. Nothing. Because you got it anyway, didn't you? Iraq, you got a little apparently video edge on this?
So apparently his birthday's this week. He's turning 70. So he's now Imus.
Mm. Wow, Howard's 70. Whew. That is crazy. I remember listening to one of his birthday shows from, he was turning from 29 to 30. Yikes.
Remember he used to shit on Imus all the time?
Oh,
he's
yeah.
Like how he's, if I was that old and I'm still on the radio, just drag
just
me
retire,
out
Robin.
Yeah.
I would retire. You're not going to see me just still doing radio, 70 years old.
What if he gets those stethoscope earphones like Imus used
to have? Oh, like Imus had. Yeah, yeah. I never know when I have to check my heartbeat. Yeah, jerk. So Howard wound up getting COVID. Anyway, what were some of his quotes there?
It was really bad.
Yeah.
But luckily he got vaccinated. He can't imagine how worse it would have been.
He said it was the most sick he's ever been in his life. And then thanked God that he was vaccinated because it could have been worse. First of all, how do you know? That's what I say to all these people. How the fuck do you know that something could have been worse if you didn't do it? It's all pure speculation. Perhaps some people that got COVID and were fine would have died from the vaccine. And perhaps people that got vaccinated, well, maybe they did. It did keep them from dying. Or maybe it doesn't matter either way. But for Howard to say that he was out for a week, sick as he's 70, and sicker than he's ever been in his life, I don't think you could credit the vaccine for helping you in any way. I didn't get vaccinated. I did get COVID, and it was bad. And it was the worst I had felt from being sick ever. But you know what? I laid there in my own fucking fever sweats, popping Tylenol and drinking a lot of liquids and taking NyQuil and sleeping as much as I could until it ran its course and went away. That was at the beginning, the very beginning of COVID. And then since then, I've had colds. I've had things that maybe they were COVID too. I don't know. Maybe I wasn't going to get tested every time I had a runny nose or a cough. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. You know what's more important? Who gives a fuck? Howard, though, wasting, just sitting. It's so Howard Stern, too. Just hiding. The coward that he is hiding from a virus. Hiding from a virus that eventually will get you anyway. And it did. And now he's probably going to be fine because he's had, and now he has natural immunity, which is immunity, which the vaccine isn't. So he wasted all that time. not doing anything, not going out, not having fun. It says
the first time he went out since the lockdown started was October 2022. 2.5 years.
2.5 years after. Holy yeah, shit. I think he was going to that party with Jennifer Aniston and Jimmy Kimmel. They have a picture of him sitting with all these celebrities, and he went out that one time and then ran
was
back
he in a mask?
To his house. I don't think he was wearing a mask, but I think all of them were tested.
Of course.
And like that day. Mm-hmm. And they took whatever precautions they could at that point. But yeah, that was Howard's last big fling. Last big shindig out on the town. Yeah, there he is. Howard. Hoo-hoo. John Hamm. Robin. And Justin Theroux, Jimmy Kimmel, Jennifer Aniston, Jason Statham, Jason, who knows what Jason that could be. It's a lot of Jasons in Hollywood. Jason and the Argonauts?
Probably Bateman.
Jason Bateman. Yep, that makes good sense. And there's Howard, and I'm sure they threw bleach over them. They sprayed them with bleach every minute to make sure they didn't get the COVID. What an idiot this guy is too. And what a phony lump of cock he turned into over the course of the years. Everything they bring up, every clip that's played about the old days that's hilarious, is something that he's had to disavow. It's a guest he's had to ban and banish and never speak to or of again. All that shit. Artie Lang, those fucking Artie Lang clips from Howard's show. Some of the funniest things you'll ever hear in your life. When Gilbert and Artie would get Robin mad because they'd keep bringing up blacks during her news segment. It's some of the funniest shit you'll ever hear. And, you know, don't mention them. Disavow. Hide from your past, Howard. Like you hid from fucking COVID. With equal fucking result. You can't. Ugh. Well, there he is. He was out for a week, and now he's back. Is he going to still hide now? I mean, you had it. You got the fucking thing. Thank God for the vaccine, Rob. Asshole. Oh, my God. Did I see Chrissy Mayer?
Okay, so I agree with everything Kumia said about Stern. Damn, Stern is turning 70. And he's still doing the radio show, but he's doing it from his basement. He's got a nice studio, though. But I agree with everything Kumia said about Howard and COVID and the vaccine. I never got the vaccine, not because I'm anti-vaccine or anything. I just had COVID before there was a vaccine, and well, what's the point of getting a vaccine for something I already had? And I've had every other COVID since. So, but I mean, the thing that COVID, the weirdest thing, because like Stern said it was the sickest he's ever been, and Kumia said it's the sickest he ever been, and they're older, so I get it. When I got it, I don't even think it was top 10 sickest I've ever been. I remember my back was aching for like 3 days. And I know people said like they lost their sense of taste and smell. I never lost my sense of taste, but I got like super smell for like 2 weeks where I could smell amazing. I could smell the people over there cooking something. Like I had... like it heightened my senses, but I could tell I was a new kind of sick. The sickest I ever was when it was a terrible time to be the sickest I ever was when I was in boot camp in the Navy because I had never flown on an airplane before. So my first time ever flying was to boot camp and then being in the same room with 80 other people from all around the country. Ooh. I was sick for the first 2 weeks of boot camp. Then I found out I was allergic to the wool socks. Oh, it was a whole thing, but that was the sickest I've ever been. Joe Rogan found out Jim Norton is married to a transgender woman. So I'm going to play this to give you my thoughts on it. It's from the latest episode of the Joe Rogan Experience podcast. Let's see how that conversation went.
Yeah, say what you think. And, you know, I remember when we first started talking about when you first started dating Nikki. We started dating. Yeah, I remember that. It was we started talking in 2016. I was friends with her for 7 months before we met. I actually booked gigs overseas just to meet her. Like, Bill had been on me for years. Dude, go to Europe. And I just would never do it because I'm like, they're going to fucking hate me. You know, I blink and I get manic. And I finally booked Norway just to go over and meet her, and we clicked, and we dated long distance and casually for a long time, and then we broke up, got back together in 2019 around Valentine's Day, and then I would drive up to Canada every weekend to see her. Every weekend I would do radio Monday through Thursday, get in the car, drive 6 hours, spend the weekend with her, wow, drive home, because immigration was a fucking nightmare. And I got a call from my producer one day. This is like right after the pandemic started. And he goes, hey, by the way, they might close the Canadian border soon. So an hour later, I was in my car. I packed a bag. I jumped in the car. An hour later, March of 2020, I'm headed to Canada. I get to the border, and I'm afraid they're not going to let me in. I'm like, hey, my fiance is having a panic attack. I figured I'd be there for 2 or 3 weeks. I didn't come back until July of 2021. So I was out of the country for 15 months. And I didn't say it publicly. I didn't tell fans. We lived together. It was my first time living with anybody. I'd never lived with a woman. I'd never been engaged. And we were kind of trial by fire. Like, is this going to work or not going to work? And it was great. Like, it was a blessing for me to have that pandemic happen the way it did.
Were you doing the radio show remotely?
Every day. But that was serious. Like, it wasn't like I didn't show up for work. They weren't letting people in the building.
Right.
We had been remote for about a week or two. And they're like, we don't know where we're going to allow you.
So how did you do it? Computers?
Yeah. Just on, they came and hooked up ISDN lines and like all the things they do to make audio better. And we had a guy in Montreal who did it. And I did it from the kitchen in this apartment I rented for us in Canada.
Wow. So you just had a dedicated ISDN line.
Yeah.
So they couldn't go down.
No. And once in a while it would get like, but even if I was in New York, we still would have been doing it remotely. Like, they wouldn't let us in the building. Nobody was broadcasting from Sirius. But it was like, it was so bizarre to never have lived with anybody. And now I'm in Canada with my fiance and we're together every day. And they were fucking worse in Canada than the US. Like, they were way stricter, curfews at 8 o'clock, everything closed. So it was just kind of, we're stuck in the house together. And are we gonna make it or are we not a good couple? So that kind of told me we were okay.
What a fucking weird time. I think it's so traumatic to us that we're sort of like pretending it.
So the Joe Rogan, like me and everyone else, doesn't care that Jim Norton is dating a transgender, well, married to a transgender woman. But damn, he lived in Canada for over a year just to be with her and got another place up there, too. Wow. By the way, this is a pre-op trans woman who I don't think is ever going to get the op. But so he goes on Joe Rogan. I think just to promote his YouTube channel he has or her, Jim and Nikki on YouTube. Go subscribe to them. Is the Jim and Sam show almost done, by the way? I can't imagine Sirius renewing them. But, I mean, I didn't know he went and moved to Canada for over a year. And when he was doing those Jim and Sam shows, he was doing it from Canada. And he just told nobody about it. Because the fiance is from Norway. For some reason, couldn't get into America. So had to go live in Canada. And then I guess she's only allowed to live in America now because she's married to Jim Norton. Which seems weird because one would think people who have money would be able to get through that process a little quicker. There's something out there that I can't quite put my finger on. But
I'm still waiting. Isn't now The Rock's in charge of the XFL? I wouldn't mind the XFL in the summer. And shit, that would be pretty dope. What do I get with the 1 month gift certificate?
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Kyle, you watching Red Bar? Red Bar is not on right now, is he? I don't think so. Trust me, 80 niggas would have told me he was.
People are still supporting.
Oh, Red Bar's on!
Oh, wait, you should.
The Rock sucks. Hold on a second. I'm kind of fucking shocked no one told me Red Bar was on. Hold on, I just gotta do something quick. We'll see what Red Bar is talking about. Stream snipe him. It's paid for content.
Okay, here we go. This is Anthony Cumia's new set, right? Is this the main picture? Here it is, the first
There's
tweet.
There's two.
Shit sets. I can't wait to see that. Let's read his description first here.
Getting everything set here in South Carolina for the show. Join me and the great Gavin McInnes tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern. Thanks for all your patience during these past few months. Thanks for hanging in the...
Anthony Cumia, Compound Media. So he's been sick, right? He's been sick. He had a heart attack, right? I can't wait till he dies. Maybe he'll have more heart attacks and eventually die from that. I was so excited. I mean, we were praying and hoping that you would just die.
Can I say a thing that you told me not to say?
Sure.
When Cumia first came back, he did the exact same pose as Mike when Mike first
yes.
came back.
Well, show yeah, let's show them that. Remind me to show them that after this.
Getting everything set here.
And I love this. I love when guys put together a pile of shit, but then they think they've done like a really good job because to them it's a good job. Like they've impressed themselves. So they're like excited to show people, even though that it's not meant for the public. That might be one of those. Let's see the room that millionaire and 60-year broadcaster Anthony Cumia has set up for himself. Here it is. And that's the studio. That's very nice. Okay, here we go. I love the L-shaped desk. I saw that one. I was going to get that one, too, for the show. I was at Staples looking for desks, and I saw that they have this there. You ever been to the back of Staples where the desk's graveyard is? Have you ever been there with all the office desks, Jules, and Staples? Or you
yes,
go to Office Depot?
Max, and it's right beside
that's my
a
favorite
huge
section.
Cutout of Shaq.
When I get in there, and I could see the whole store from the front, but when I get in there, I go, excuse me, where are the desks? And they go, right there. And you could clearly see because it's a big, wide open, almost empty space. If you go to Staples now, they have so little on the shelves now. And I've seen this exact desk at Staples. Now, Staples isn't cheap. Staples has weird pricing. Like this desk at Staples will be like $12.99. But it really should be like $300 on Wayfair, right? But because Staples has put it together and put it on their showroom, and because they're all around crooks, this one might be a $1,200 desk. On the desk here, I don't know where he got this idea. I've never seen this before. He put a neon sign of his logo on the desk. On the front of the desk, and it's in the spirit of most podcasts with neon signs. They've lit the room so brightly that the neon sign no longer emits any light. Here, show them.
It's showing it. Your neon sign that you might have been inspired by.
Yeah. So when you look at these people and they all do this, every podcast has a neon sign that is on. It should be almost casting the color of the sign on them. However, the lights in the studio are always so bright that the sign, even at its highest brightness, all you see is the color of the fake LED tubing. You see, you're not really seeing any sort of glow from this, okay? Remember, this is the tubes they use to make these LED lights are actually physically colored. This is just the yellow of the tube. We're not seeing any light being cast. You see, there's no outer glow here. And everyone will make sure you see the plastic backing that comes with these neons. They want that. That is almost part of the design to them. For you to see the plastic outline more than anything. And then finally, when they get a neon, they will make sure that their main camera shot does not include it ever. And you never actually see the neon on the show. Or if you do, it's only cut
only
off.
In behind the scenes pics.
Yes. Kumiya has, I was going to get this chair, but they were sold out. This is a Robin Hood type chair. This is a chair you would see if you went to like an apple orchard in the room where you pay, you know, in one of the barns where you would buy pumpkins, a pumpkin patch. You go inside to pay, and maybe there's some chairs like this behind the counter where the woman works.
Now, to be fair, cool. Or what's the new one, most hated phrase? Mike thinks that
Mike seems to think.
Mike seems to think that that's Kumiya's chair, but he's actually been asking for gaming chair wrecks.
He? So he will be getting, well, that's different because that's cool. So Kumiya he's getting a gaming chair, which are those really cool chairs that go over your head and they're cut like this and they're usually bright red. And those are nice. Everyone looks, you know who looks really cool in a gaming chair? Pokimane. Gaming chairs make people look pretty fucking cool and authoritative. When KSI sits in that gaming chair, I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's like sitting in Donald Trump's office. I get intimidated. So, yes, when that gaming chair is in there with like the name of the company on the side of it, that's going to look good. So behind him, he's done, and this is a very popular backdrop in podcasting right now. It's shelves with personal knickknacks to show who you are as a host. I love this. So we've done this with Dave Rubin. We've seen these shelves everywhere. Tom Segura. Every podcaster has what's called decorative shelves, where they never quite fill them in a nice way. If I had a shelving unit like this in my house, it would be ripped out and thrown away. I think this type of shelving could be the ugliest shelving. I mean, you get this at World Market. You know, you've got these metal pieces with this disgusting color wood. I mean, the color wood here could not be more gross, especially paired with this modern gray. It's just disgusting. But let's see what his knickknacks are and if they show off his personality. That's what counts with a backdrop of shelves. You've got a radio to show that he used to do radio. Okay. Now, see, this is like the curse finale. Now I'm starting to see these Easter eggs, and it's starting to be like, he might be a genius, not an idiot. So here's a radio. He was in radio. Over here, baseball. I bet he used to like to go to the Yankees games to see the Mets. So this makes sense. In New York, he goes to the game. I've seen him at the game catching these foul balls. So that's him. He's got a bobblehead of himself. That needs to be put up. If somebody sends you a bobblehead of yourself, it should be in the main shot. Because how crazy is that?
That bobblehead makes me smile because it reminds me of the old days of Kumiya's Twitter. Remember his
profile he used to have that as his profile pic. Looks just like him, too. If he was a doctor on a show. So then he has, of course, old school rifles. We all know that he loves guns. So this is right up his alley with the gun stuff. And it looks like he's showcasing some different guns here. I don't know if these are real. This has a cool barrel here. This is a cool gun. I've got a few of these too. And then he's got this little statue of, is this a spaghetti guy? A guy made out of noodles here?
I don't know that reference.
This would represent his love for Italian imitations. This is his love for talking like Tony Soprano. So he's got the pasta there for his love of Italian stuff. Planes. I know he is into like building drones and planes and remote control planes. He's into that, which is really cool. I've always had a lot of fun time flying around the remote control planes. I've invested a lot of money into that, too. Well, when I first got into radio, I didn't know what to get into. And I saw that Kumiya flew these model planes. So I started doing that, too. I've spent thousands and thousands getting these replicas built and then eventually going and test flying them. And we've had some great flights recently. I'm a hobbyist. I've always been a hobbyist.
This is, I just started having a fantasy about actually going to fly a plane like that.
Wouldn't that be fun? You go to a field,
you drive it around, you wear your puffy coat, you go alone and you really imagine.
Okay, this is what I want you to imagine. Kumia in a field, it's cold, he's got on his winter coat with hood, but the hood's not on. My shit's going off. Hold on, it is. Put on some music. I got to interrupt that, and then I'll tell you a picture, Kumia. Throw in some tunes. It's time for Red Bar's 9-Pill Challenge. The 9-Pill Challenge. There we go. This is what reminds me of On Cinema, by the way. The 9-Pill Challenge. And this is, you can participate. We always say, if you drink the same as me, smoke the same as me, do the same amount of puffs, have the same amount of water, you'll understand the show. You'll connect with the show much more if you do exactly as I do. Weigh what I weigh. Wear what I wear. Eat what I've eaten. You'll be able to connect with the show on a much higher level. It'll be insane. It's actually better than IMAX. It's like a new type of experience. Do as host does. You'll see. One of those things I do is take 9 pills. During when the alarm goes off, I take the 9 pills. It's called the 9-Pill Challenge. Do you have the guts to go into your cabinet, blindfolded, grab a bottle of pills, take 9 of them without looking? That is the 9-Pill Challenge. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The challenge is, today's challenge, you go into your medicine cabinet blindfolded, you have a friend lead you, pick out a bottle, take 9 of them. It could be vitamins, it could be sugar cubes, it could be oxys. Do you have the guts to do like the host? Here we are. Void where prohibited. Void where prohibited. That's how you get out of any of the legal stuff with that one.
Void where prohibited.
Thank you for that. Okay, so you've got some books here.
That should be the name of your book.
Void where prohibited would be a great... Is there a book? Go on Amazon and see if there's a book. That's a great band name. Book name. Isn't that a great book name? Void where prohibited. Mike, yep. David. There's a book. Fuck.
Void where prohibited.
Well, then there's
rest breaks and the right to urinate on company time. First edition by Mark Linder.
Dr. Stuart Linder is an idol of mine. He is the breast surgeon to the stars. Porn stars. Here is his book collection. Of course, he's trying to be really funny. He thinks, like, we'll die laughing because he has a Hitler book. I have 100 Hitler books and books that say nigger on them. They're all over the studio. It's an old hack thing to buy. I have hundreds of those. Here's a horn. I guess this is like an old-timey radio sound effect. The horn, very funny. An on-air light. We've got 100 of these everywhere. Again, emitting no light or afraid to turn on because it's battery operated. It's got some Sirius XM memorabilia. Some more books. I skip over books. I'm not interested in what people read. I feel like that says nothing about them. He's got, oh, this is cool. This must be... maybe Jim Brewer was just on because it is a red hot and I just saw a Mustang today and I said, you know what I love about that Mustang the most? To me, the racing stripes, black and red. I think that looks really cool. You can't see that. It almost looks like a shadow. This right here is in fact a racing stripe. Is that a Mustang? This is cool. I like, this is a racing stripe right here. And I think that looks sick on cars. Especially, I love the black and red combo. I think those are really beautiful colors to put together. He's got a hat. He's got a picture here. And then some blank shelves. It never looks good to not have your studio finished. So it's very blank here. You go over here, and this is, I think, what people are responding to, right? In his comments, Jules. I think this is what's oohing and aahing all the nerds. Because
the second pick really made people see how much money he had put into this.
So this is his gaming PC. And, you know, I don't know what's in here, but I do know that, you know, This looks like something you would have in
a that stream where he built the PC. Kumiya does all these amazing gaming streams where he says all this crazy stuff and then deletes them immediately.
Yeah. He's got a lot of consumer electronics from Best Buy. You know, you've got the Stream Deck. You'd never see that on my desk here. If we even used one of those, it'd be hidden. It'd be re-paneled. You know, it'd be sitting in some wood panels. And gaming PCs, which are just horrendous and... it's not cool that you've built your own PC. It's not cool that somebody has a PC. For $1,100, you could get the best gaming computer in the world. So, and this mouse, all this stuff is just junk. This shouldn't be on a set. This should be in the checkout lane at a Macy's. You know, you go to Macy's to check out. This is the type of register this woman has in the middle of the clothing store. You ever done that? It's just such an odd place for a cash register.
Amazon returns at that.
Yeah, that's what this looks like. So they're oohing and on the people in the comments. Let's look at the next picture. They really think this computer is so nice. Oh, here we go. A shot from the other side. So this made them explode. They're like, holy shit, it's like a TV studio. So he's got Amazon, these cheap ass $38 Amazon hard panel lights. He's got them all aimed at the ceiling to evenly light this space. He's got them. I'm not going to go into why this is. So he's basically using his white ceiling here as a reflector, and he's aimed every studio lamp at the ceiling, giving it. I like that when a room is just brightly lit, nothing to hide. Brighter than, there's more shadows in a surgical room than in the studio. I like that. No shadows. F shadows. So here you go. You have a nice sneak peek of Kumiya's new studio. Pretty cool, huh? Curtains. You got these light stands. Look at the camera. It's pretty big. That's, looks to be just a web. Look at the camera. And they're all like, this is sick. That's like a television studio. They're telling him.
That's not even a camera. It's just a lens.
It's a webcam. Yeah, it's just a cube. It's fucking. He's got this do it. And oh, God. I gave these companies, by the way, the idea to make these all in one podcast mixers years ago. But I meant make them nice. They decided that they were going to do them, make them $129, disposable units. They sound awful, but they do allow you to do all-in-one podcast. You just plug your mic in, turn it on, hit record, you're good. You've got a whole audio setup. No need to know what you're doing. They do sound a little thin, a little plasticky, because they're kind of just on the, they're just kind of toys. It would be nice if someone made, here's one, it's $4,000. More higher-end all-in-one unit. I remember I was telling Personas, I was on the phone with Personas. I go, you guys, if you made like a mixer that you just, a podcaster could just plug a mic into and just start talking and it's all set up for you, all the settings are already engaged. I go, this would fly off the shelves. They go, yeah.
Did you go and out here for lunch are. With them after that?
I went to, we got Mexican food and I got this big plate of enchiladas and I said, best Mexican place in the city. And I had a big red beard during this and black frame glasses. Okay, so there's his new studio. Very cool, Kumiya. Congrats. Oh, and look at this cool guy with it. He put the gun over here, so you know that he's allowed to have a gun.
I don't see any bullets all over the floor. I know. So
why don't you throw some bullets? He probably's not even allowed to have bullets in his gun. I can't believe he still thinks it's so cool to, like, once they see this $600 gun. I mean, guns are really unimpressive. The highest they go up to is like $2,400. And there's not even that many at that price. It's really not that impressive. You guys got to go higher. If you want to impress people, you guys should be getting like $30,000 guns. $40,000 guns. Let's go. It's not cool to be like, oh my God, that is so sick. $6.99 at Dick's Sporting Goods. Oh, we did that 9-pill challenge. Okay. Kumiya Studio, very cool. Thank you.
And you got to look at how he copied your coming back from being sick swag.
Oh, God. This is what really bothered me.
You are
me.
The blueprint for coming back from being sick.
Do we have
sick.
The photo here?
It's a next up.
Next up, okay, we could show you. Hey, he stole my little comeback here. Pull these up here. There's me. And there's Kumia. Look at that. My exact pose. Trying to gain sympathy. Saw how this much sympathy I got doing that. So he wanted to try the same thing, but this is what the shot looks like now. When you see his show, this is what the
Here, someone sent
studio.
A clip of him.
Oh, we've got a clip.
Talking to Gino. Did you watch that one about how Gino let all these people into
Black
the studio
people, okay.
to steal?
So we have a clip just to show what his new
Yeah, I sent you that one.
Like. Okay, here it is. Anthony Kumia, and we'll find... Oh, wow, look at this. He looks great. And everyone's saying he looks great. They love the set.
This set does actually look pretty nice. So let's... Okay, this is just a clip. So we can't tell what the pixelation would
sure
actually be like, but here it is. I think this looks great so far.
Let's see what he says.
Hey, but before you move on here, we have somebody here.
That's the old booth.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Cut back to Kumiar.
Hello. Hello.
That's him.
Oh!
Down.
There he is.
Gino!
Hey, buddy. Would you like
How you doing, man?
Dude, you
are
look great,
show anymore?
Especially compared to yesterday when we thought...
So this is the shot, so they pipe this into the New York studio. There's the old... I think this looks much better than the... what is this, Gaza?
The old backdrop, I think, was just a photo of Gaza.
Just looks like a bunch of rubble to be. Rock rubble.
Are they going to clean this Gaza up, or are they going to just leave that there for the earth to consume? Bulldozer. I want that paved soon. I want that whole area paved. I want it to be for miles and miles. You just see flat cement. Not a tree, not a leaf. I want it quiet, flat cement.
For as long as the eye could see, like an ocean. Okay?
And then it just leads right up to the water. It's a infinity edge to the sea.
Okay, that's Kumi's New City. Very cool.
It looks awesome.
Can we take a 2-millisecond break?
Yeah, well, that's what we're doing. We'll be right back. That was just the intro.
See everybody in a bit. Don't go anywhere. Our breaks are very quick.
We'll be right back. Red Bar, crank it.
Every night when we say goodbye.
Arbash on Detroit.